Seated. When a baby beluga whale is born, it cannot make a sound. Unlike baleen whales or even humans, toothed whales lack vocal cords. So in order to make the variety of sounds that they do, they use air sacs around their blowholes and varying pressures to make sounds that can range from something like a cork being pulled out of a bottle or a creaking door. They can also make clicks and squeaks and chirps and bleats and moans and groans and whistles. Getting to that point, though, of being able to make those sounds, but even further, to filter out all of the ocean's background noise so that they can truly listen and understand and interpret all of these different sounds takes a lot of work and practice. So much so that in beluga society, a newborn calf is surrounded from birth by their mother, but also their allo mothers. And these are cousins and sisters and aunts and grandmas that help the mama beluga care for the newborn calf. Often, they will even start to produce milk to take the pressure off the mother. I'm sure many of the mothers in here would have enjoyed that. The flurry of care surrounding a little one also includes a lot of tutelage. The calf is listening. It's listening to the sounds that the other whales are making, and it tries to imitate them as best as it can. And it tries to learn what they mean. Within a few hours of being born, they're able to make teeny tiny little squeaks. And by a week, they can usually whistle. And there is even one particular call that the mother makes. It sounds a bit like rubbing your nails over a comb, but the baby soon learns that this sound means it's okay. Mama's here. You're safe. At the start of our gospel reading, from 1 Samuel, we are told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Now, practically speaking, the writer of this book is telling us that at this point, people, even priests in the temple like Eli, did not know what a calling from God, what the voice of God, would even sound like. It would have been brand new to them. And when we encounter Samuel here, we know he's young. Earlier in this book, we find out that he is the son of Hannah, who desperately wanted a child. And she and her husband came to Shiloh, to the temple, and she prayed fervently there. She prayed from her heart, moving her lips, but not with sounds. And Eli was the priest there. He was there. And now, it was uncommon, but not unheard of, to pray silently. So Eli went over to her to check in and see what's going on. And then he accuses her of being drunk, because that must be what's happening if your lips are moving but words are not coming out. And then he tells her to leave. It's not exactly the most pastoral moment you could imagine. But despite his failure as a priest, God listens to Hannah's heartfelt prayer. And she gives birth to Samuel, whom she dedicates to God. And now Samuel is in the same temple under the guidance of the same priest, Eli. But we hear that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And what ensues is sort of a comedic scene, really, where Samuel hears a voice and assumes it's Eli, goes to him, and then is told to go back and lie down. And now the skeptical part of me really appreciates Samuel's response. He hears what he thinks is a voice, and instead of just automatically assigning it spiritual or religious meaning, he immediately applies Occam's razor, that the simplest explanation for an event is the most likely one. Samuel thinks that he and Eli are alone, so if Samuel hears a voice, logically, it must be Eli. But he's hearing this sound for the first time. He's trying to figure it in, figure it out, put it in his life experience. And if he were to listen to this voice for the very first time and immediately and without help realize that this was the voice of God, I actually have no doubt he would have been absolutely terrified. And it reminds me that occasionally when I'm on social media scrolling through TikTok, there are videos that will pop up of people getting a cochlear implant and hearing for the first time. And they usually involve the patient hearing a noise and then starting to cry out of joy. But the reality of it is that it's not usually like that. New sounds that you've never heard before, or sounds in general when you couldn't hear them before, can be traumatizing. Most doctors advise their patients not to leave the house for several weeks after getting a cochlear implant so that they can get used to all kinds of the new but common noises that we're all used to, like water coming out of a faucet or wind blowing against a window. And most people have to go through extensive therapy to cope with this newly altered perspective on life. When we hear something brand new, our brains need to process it, to learn what it is, where it came from, and if it's good or bad. Just like those little whales had to hear and interpret their mother's calls. And so, after a few times back and forth and back and forth, Eli puts it together and realizes that the voice that Samuel hears is God, to which Eli advises him to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel does that, and God speaks to Samuel. Now, tomorrow, the United States will celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And one aspect of his leadership that has never seemed to get much attention is he was an incredible listener. He surrounded himself with people of various opinions, some who agreed fully with him and some who were adamantly opposed. But he listened to all of the sides. He wanted to understand all of the sides. And in fact, many of the key moments in his life were because of though he listened to those around him who were prodding him, his opposition to the Vietnam War, engaging in nonviolence, and even his I Have a Dream speech. As he was giving that famous speech during the March on Washington, he originally planned to cap it off by exhorting people to go back to our communities as members of the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Dissatisfaction. Doesn't quite have the same ring as I Have a Dream. But from behind him called the voice of the famous gospel singer Mahalia Jackson. "Tell them about the dream, Martin. Tell them about the dream." And he listened to her. And his response was the refrain that we all know, "I have a dream." Listening is hard. It is complicated work. It's very active. It requires much discernment and constant checking in with ourselves so that we can absorb and interpret and understand the full message. And as you go about your lives this week, I would encourage you to ask yourselves, who and what do I listen to? Who and what voices do I let into my psyche? And what things clutter my hearing and make it harder to hear God and others? The Jesuit John Veltri wrote a prayer specifically about listening, and I want to leave you with it. Teach me to listen, O God, to those nearest me, my family, my friends, my coworkers. Help me to be aware that no matter what words I hear, the message is accept the person I am. Listen to me. Teach me to listen, my caring God, to those far from me, the whisper of the hopeless, the plea of the forgotten, the cry of the anguished. Teach me to listen, O God, my mother, to myself. Help me to be less afraid, to trust the voice inside, in the deepest part of me. Teach me to listen, Holy Spirit, for your voice, in busyness and boredom, in certainty and doubt, in noise and in silence. Teach me, Lord, to listen.